Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Jesus has given us a precious commodity called time. I think it's important that we redeem that time in which He has given to us. There's so much work to do every single day that we live. I'm reminded a few years ago, I was going to a very early morning prayer meeting at the high school. And as I was on my way, there was a stranded vehicle on the side of the road. Now, I don't normally encourage people, especially when it's dusty dark and you can't see very well, to necessarily stop for strangers that you don't know. But on this particular day, I heard audibly the Holy Spirit, as if there were another person in the car with me, "You need to stop." Well, it's hard to argue when you hear the voice of God that loudly, as if it's really audible in your ear. And so I stopped for this individual. And he says, "I was trying to get to town." He says, "I've run out of gas." I said, "Well, I can take you. We'll get some gas." I said, "The gas station you've already passed." He says, "But it was closed." I said, "Well, don't worry about that. He's my neighbor. And I happen to know that as I was leaving, he was headed to work. So it will be open when we get there." And so I wanted to be intentional about our time together. I didn't want him to think that I was just some person who was doing a random act of kindness. I wanted him to understand that I felt that Jesus was the reason that I was supposed to stop and help him on this particular day. Because I can't tell you how many times I've seen people on the side of the road and I didn't feel compelled to stop. I didn't hear audibly stop. So in a roundabout way, I tried to bring the conversation to Jesus. I said, "You know, I believe Jesus would stop if he were driving the car." And I said, "I want it to be like Jesus for you today." And so we got into a really wonderful conversation. It wasn't deep or theological. It was just that, yes, God cares. He provides, and in those places where we think there's no way because several cars had passed him by, God provided a way. When we got to the gas station, I didn't even ask if he had money for gas. We got a can, we filled it up, I took care of everything, got him back to his minivan, and he went on his way and was glad for it. He thought he had enough gas to get to the store, and when the store was closed, he didn't know how quickly the store was getting ready to open. He thought, "Well, I can just try to get on to town," and it didn't work. Again, I don't encourage you to do that because we live in a day and age where sometimes it's dangerous to do that. But I would say this, I would encourage you, if the Holy Spirit says stop, to obey the Holy Spirit in those things. And make the most, redeem the time. Let people understand that it's not just a random act of kindness. Sure, it is. But at the same time, Jesus motivates the reason for the Christian's kindness. We're different than the world. There are people in the world who do great acts of kindness for humanitarian reasons. As Christians, we do acts of kindness because Jesus is connected. Jesus is the reason, and we want to share him and his kingdom with as many people as we can, because we don't know when my path that I know of has never crossed with that gentleman again. And to my knowledge, it had never crossed with him before. Only God would know that. It was that one moment in time that we crossed that one moment in time that I was able to communicate Christ to him. How did that impact his life? I don't know. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it did. But here's the thing. Seeds of the gospel were planted into his heart and life that day. God knew what he was doing. I didn't. I'll be honest, I was a little nervous about stopping. But here's the beauty of the thing. Even in stopping, going back, getting him gas, making sure he got on his way, I wasn't late for the prayer meeting at the high school. I still got there ahead of time. So it was God's hand working out the entire thing. You know, something similar happens to Jesus in the passage of Scripture that I'd like for us to look at today. So if you have your Bibles, and if not, it will be on the screen. But if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 34. Again, Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 29, reading from the ESV, it reads like this. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called to them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Father, we're grateful for your word. And today, I pray that your Holy Spirit gives us new application to apply it to our daily lives. Father, I pray that we are a people who redeem the time, that we understand Jesus' call to be the light of the world, and that we redeem the time and we are light to as many people as we possibly can in the time that you have given us. Father, I'm grateful you hear us. I'm grateful you answer us. We pray this in Christ Jesus' strong name. Amen. Several things that jump out to me when I read the scripture. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but I'll take time to tell you a few things that jump out to me about this scripture. First is this: Jesus recognized the open door. You know, that morning with that man on the side of the road, I don't think I was necessarily thinking about an open door in that moment, although it turned out to be an open door. It was an open opportunity to share Christ. But Jesus understood that what he was facing was an open door. You know, all of the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all put this account of Jesus giving sight to these as he was leaving Jericho right before his passion. So more than likely, Jesus was never going to be passing this way again in his earthly ministry. So it wasn't like, well, we'll catch them next time we come through. This was probably the last time Jesus would be able to heal them, at least in his earthly ministry. We know Jesus still heals. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We understand that as Christians. But in his earthly ministry is what I'm saying. This was probably the last time that he would be going this way. And he didn't say to the people who were following him, "We'll get to those folks next time." He saw the open door and he walked through the open door. Verse 32, and stopping, Jesus called to them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" So my question to us, to make this practical for us, is how do we recognize open doors? How do we recognize open doors? I think there are probably more ways than what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, but here are a few just to consider. First, is take time to build a relationship with Jesus. If And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's good to come to church. Don't misunderstand me. That's important. But if coming to church is the only time you think about Jesus, or open the Bible, or have any sort of faith about you, if this is your only connection time, then I would encourage you, really take time to build a friendship with Jesus. Not a Sunday sort of friendship, but a daily sort of friendship. A relationship that if it's 3 a.m, you can cry out to him. If it's 2 p.m, you can cry out to him. If you're going through something exciting, he's the first one you talk to. If you're going through something that hurts, he's the first one you talk to. Build a relationship with Jesus. That is vital. When we build a relationship with Jesus, we understand how he thinks. It's more easy for us to recognize those open door opportunities when they come. The second thing I would encourage you to do is make time, discipline yourself to hearing the Holy Spirit. Make that a priority. We have this wonderful time of open worship in the Quaker Church. It's one of the things I love about the Quaker Church. But here's the thing. If the only time that we practice that discipline is on Sunday morning, then there's something fundamentally wrong with our Christian walk. Open worship for each of us should be a daily practice. Just taking time in God's presence, turning off the many voices, the radio, the television, the internet, the telephone, just being quiet. Even turning off the music. I'm not saying that it's not okay to have soft music. I like soft music from time to time. But sometimes you just need that silence, that quiet, where there's no other movement, so that you recognize and you learn how to recognize the voice of God, so that when he does speak in those open door moments, you know, and you know that it's his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." But if we don't take time to be still and listen, we could be misled by many different things. So I encourage you, take time, be still, be quiet, make it a priority to hear from the Holy Spirit. God longs to speak to you. Make it a priority to hear what it is he has to say. Another thing that helps us with open door moments, recognizing them, is this spending time in this word. God speaks like he talks, and he talks like he writes. And this word, if you hear a voice that's saying something that contradicts this entirely, you know it's not the voice of God. But if you hear a voice speaking to you that complements this word that he's given to you, you can believe it's his voice speaking to you. But again, if this book just lays on the coffee table and collects dust, it's not doing you any good. I encourage you, open it daily. Hey, listen, if you have a phone app with the Bible on it, open that phone app daily. Make it a practice. If you don't read well, I understand. I don't read well. The thing I love about my phone is that I can open the Bible and have it read to me, and I can follow along, or I can just listen. Here's the thing. Take time. Listen to God's word. Read God's word. Why? Faith comes by what? And hearing what? Exactly. So as you take time in God's word, even if you read it out loud to yourself, I do that too, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. Take time. Know how God writes, because when you know how he writes, you know how he speaks. And all of those things will help you recognize open door opportunities. The final thing I would say about that is this. Don't beat yourself up over missed open door opportunities. You may build a relationship with God, and all of a sudden you may see something back in the past that was an open door opportunity and you missed it. Don't beat yourself up over that. Learn from it and move forward. I'm not going to say what, because I don't want to sound like a sensationalist, but many years ago, there was a real catastrophic event that happened. I dreamed about that event happening, and when I woke up, I thought, wow, I'm glad that was a dream. That would never happen in real life. And it wasn't too long after that that the phone rang, and the voice on the other end said, do you see what's going on television? And I said, well, no, I just woke up. They were like, go turn on the TV. And sure enough, the things that I had dreamed about were playing out right there on the television. Now, that's never happened to me before. It's not happened since. I believe what God was trying to teach me in that moment is this. When you have those realistic dreams that just feel real, and you think, well, that could never happen, but maybe it could, make that a matter of prayer. God taught me in that moment what intercessory prayer was, and I realized I put two and two together. I was being shown this to learn a lesson I need to be praying about. I don't think that if I had prayed that it would have changed anything in that situation, because it was too close to the dream and the phone ringing. It was pretty much already happening as I was waking up. But I think God was wanting to get my attention so that when I did have dreams in the future, not to just put those off to maybe tacos that I'd ate the night before, but if it really seemed real and it really seemed earth-moving, to make that a matter of prayer. It's the same for you. If you've had those opportunities that have been missed, don't beat yourself up over them. Learn from them and learn how to use them as you go forward in your Christian walk. So Jesus recognized the open door. Another thing Jesus did, he acted in the moment. Again, verse 32, and stopping, he stopped. He acted in that moment. Again, none of us are promised tomorrow. This is the time that we have. That's why it's important for us to redeem this moment. You know, again, I don't ever remember seeing that man that I stopped to help that morning before. And I know I, to the best of my knowledge, at least have never seen him since. If I had passed by that morning, then Jesus would have never been brought into our conversation. Those seeds that were sown into his life would have never been sown. At least God wouldn't have used me to sow them. I pray he would have used someone else, but who knows? If I didn't stop, maybe no one else would have either, and those seeds would have never been sown into his life. Redeem the time. Act in the moment. When you know it's a God moment, stop and act in that God moment. Again, more than likely in his earthly ministry, Jesus never passed that way, leaving Jericho in that fashion ever again, because this is right before. I encourage you to look at it in your devotion time this week, but this is right before Jesus' passion. This is right before the triumphal entry and Jesus going to the cross. So more than likely, he never went back that way to see those blind men again. He acted in the moment. I encourage you, act in the moment. The final thing is this. Always point them to Christ. Always point them to Christ. Again, there are a lot of good people who do a lot of good things out of the idea of humanitarian. I've had trouble speaking all day, even in Sunday school. As a humanitarian effort, we'll say it that way, they do a lot of good work. But for the Christian, Christ is the center. Christ is the reason why we do good deeds. So always make it about Christ. Always be intentional about pointing it back to Jesus. It's not my light I'm shining. It's Christ's light in me that I'm shining. And I want to be faithful with that so that people understand that I'm not trying to be a humanitarian doing good work, that I'm a Christian wanting people to know Christ, wanting to know the Savior who has saved me. Jesus opened their eyes. You know, and the truth of the matter is, Jesus can do for others what we can't.
We can point them, but we may not be able to heal them. We may be able to pray for their healing.
And Jesus may use us in that capacity. But only Jesus can bring the healing. Only Jesus' touch can change a situation. He may use you in that, but it's his touch ultimately that does the changing. And that's why it's so important for us to point people to Jesus. Jesus healed these. He will heal others. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, he is faithful and just to do just that for those who ask. You may be the catalyst. You may be the reason why someone asks. You may be the reason why someone recognizes Christ. You know, had I not been intentional that morning with that man, he probably wouldn't have put two and two together. I think a lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, people understand I'm a Christian, whatever. This is the reason that I'm operating. But if someone hasn't had the same faith background that we have, if someone has never attended church, if someone has never opened this book, or no one has ever told them about Jesus, again, I've shared with you, Sonia and I working at Grace Haven, serving there for all those years, many of those young children who were in our care had never even heard the name Jesus because it wasn't talked about in their families. It wasn't talked about in their circle of influence. And for the first time, they heard Jesus, and they could then put two and two together. And there are probably people in our world who are the same way. They've never heard about Jesus, and so they don't understand that we're not just being kind. Sure, Jesus wants us to be kind, but there's a greater reason for our kindness. We want them to know Christ, who can deliver them, who can set them free, that they have hope beyond this life, that there's an eternity with a God who loves them and cares about them and desires them for himself. Again, I encourage you, be purposeful in your connections with people. Always point it back to Jesus. So this week, look for those open door opportunities. There are many at the grocery store and the parking lot, wherever you are. There are open door opportunities all around. If you're not sure, pray. God, reveal. Take the blinders off. Let me see these opportunities to share you. And I can tell you, he will provide you ample opportunities to share him. Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are in this room, how many lives each of us could touch and change this week just by being faithful, just by redeeming the time and letting God show us those open door opportunities.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.